Come away with me on a bus. Come away where they can tempt us with their light.
Welcome to Mondays with Millie, a podcast about the past with real relevance to the present day. I'm your host, Phil Cristofaro, and in this podcast series, I interview my 90-year-old mother-in-law, Doreen, who I affectionately call Millie, about her ordinary life and the extraordinary events which influenced it. Millie has witnessed firsthand some incredible things across 10 decades. This is a personal history which gives us some perspective about life's triumphs and challenges.
Never stop loving you.
Welcome to Episode 6, Season 7 of Mondays with Millie. In Episode 6, we have a very special guest joining us from the living room. Kirsten joins Millie and I to talk backpacking from back in the day. Please enjoy this episode of Mondays with Millie. All right. Hello and welcome, everybody. This is a special episode of Mondays with Millie. And I have a very special guest joining us today. Now, this episode is really about Millie and Kirsten. And Kirsten's joining us via the other room on FaceTime. And I've sent her out there. We're actually going to have a bit of a three-way discussion, bit of a conversation about the 2000s. In particular, we're going to focus on Kirsten's year abroad and really that first move that Kirsten took after spending pretty much her whole life growing up in Lytham, St Anne. So, Kirsten, can you just give a bit of a, in a nutshell, how long were you away for and where did you go?
Well, we left and went to America first. The plan was to spend a couple of months there and then to go to Australia, work, hopefully, and travel, and then come back through Asia. But that was supposed to be a 12-month trip.
And what happened?
It went a little bit longer. Well, it nearly went a lot shorter, actually, because by the time we got to Australia, we were pretty short of cash and we struggled to find work. We ended up doing the usual backpacker thing in Australia of fruit picking, which was fantastic for us, and we made a bit of money doing that. And then we did a couple of odd jobs, which made us a bit more. But we couldn't work as radiographers, which was a shame, because that would have been good money. And at that point, when we couldn't get work, I phoned home and I said, we can't get jobs. I don't know what to do. And mum and dad basically said, we will give you money for a ticket home, but we're not giving you money to keep on traveling. If you want to keep traveling, you have to find a job. So that's what we did.
So Millie, what thoughts are going through your head at this time? How worried were you when you get a message like that as a parent and you know invariably they're going to ask for money at some point. But
well, we would have given her the money, but we did. We wanted. We didn't want it to keep on travelling. It was a bit of blackmail, really. But there's no. I mean, before Kirsten went, we both went to the bank, and she signed a note for me to have access to her account. So I knew each week I went into the bank and I checked how much money she had, you know, that she still had money. And I knew it was getting very low. And I thought, oh, that's good. She'll be coming home soon. That was a bit selfish, wasn't it? But
well, no, it was quite right, because there was, if you'd given me money at that point and said, that's fine, keep travelling, then I may have done the same thing in 6 months' time and said, now you need to give me money because I can't get home. And then it's even more blackmail, isn't it? I would do the same thing as a parent now.
Yes, yes. And also, I suppose really it was naughty, because I knew that actually she had quite a lot of money, which was, you know, which our friend Elsie had left to her. So
She didn't tell me that until I got back to England. So... Auntie Elsie died whilst I was travelling. I was in Australia, actually. I was actually staying at your mum's house, Phil, at Nonna's house. And we got the message through that I phoned home and mum told me that she'd passed away. She was very, very poorly when I left, and I kind of knew that was probably going to happen. So it was very sad still. But she didn't tell me that I'd been left money until I got home.
And also I told the boys, if you speak to Kirsten or Wright, do not tell her that you've all been left some money.
So did you, Millie, did you had some oversight with the bank account? Did you feel, how often in any sort of given week, how often did you go, because you couldn't just go on the internet in those days and check on the transactions and see what the balance was?
I only lived around the corner from the bank, so I could pop in any day I liked, you see.
And how often did you check?
Every week, because they got used to me. I'd go in and I'd go in to draw some money out, and they'd say, she's okay, you know. And I'd say, oh, thanks. They got used to me, you know.
Wouldn't surprise me if everyone in St. Anne's knew how much money I had in the bank at that point.
So in between the phone calls, did you find, was it a bit like a bit of forensic work on your part, tracking the transactions and how much was coming out and where? Did you get that sort of level of oversight, or did you?
You couldn't do that. They'd just tell me how much was there, and I'd just say, oh, well, put 50 in, you know, enough to last for a bit longer.
Well, Kirsten, you got to the end of that trip and you'd spent, how much were you earning fruit picking? What were you doing?
Well, because it was piecework, and we were paid by the ton of, we were picking pears. And I think the first week, Amanda and I came out, by the time we paid for our board, room and board, I think we had about $8 each. We got better though.
but was it $20 a bin? And a bin was a ton?
I can't remember. Amanda would be able to tell you, I'm sure. I think it was something like $24, $25 a ton, yeah. It was a long, hard slog, I tell you.
That's a lot of pears to pick.
That's a lot.
Now, and you would pick how many bins in a day?
Well, I think the first week we were picking about half a bin. But by the time we finished, I think we're picking 2.5 to 3. Yeah.
You get quite good at it, don't you?
Well, you do, but it's really bloody hot, I have to say. It's, you know, it was summer in Australia. And they were saying to us, oh, you English girls, you've got no hope of coping. You know, it's 40 degrees and blah, blah, blah. But we did all right.
And you did get promoted.
Yeah, well, actually, I did listen to the podcast where you said I was driving a truck. That was Amanda that got the job driving a truck.
Oh, I see.
I got a job sorting pears in the packing shed.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
Yeah, it was like.
But my friend was driving the truck, so she got to bring us, you know, ice creams and stuff, give us lifts places.
Yeah, she was on an hourly rate, whereas you were Yeah.
So I was on an hourly rate. We were both on hourly rates at that point, which is much better.
Yeah, of course, of course. So how hard was it, Millie, maybe I'll ask you this question. So how hard was it really to stay in contact? Did you find yourself looking to the post box or looking at the phone ringing more so? What was your mainstay?
Oh, yes. Well, of course, the phone calls were so expensive, as I think I've stated before, and £1 a minute. So I knew the girls, that it was agreed before they went away that Kirsten would phone 1 week, then I would inform Amanda's parents, and then the following week Amanda would phone and her parents would inform me. And that worked very well. And then, of course, we got the letters. And photographs. We got a photograph of you, actually, taken in America.
Yeah, and I had long curly hair in those days, and that wasn't received as well as it might have been in this day and age.
No, am I allowed to say that?
Of course.
I thought you were an Aborigine.
No, you have to cut that out.
No. She's allowed to say that, but
because you see, you were very sunburnt, and you do get sunburnt quickly, don't you? With your Italian
suntanned, you mean? Yeah.
Well, suntanned, yes, not sunburnt. And of course, you have this black curly hair. And although you're very handsome, I've still got your photograph of the two of you now in my bedroom. And but I said, I think he. And Kirsten said you were Australian, so I said, I think he's Aborigine. When I told your mother years later, she just howled and she said, that's what I should have said to him. You don't look Italian anymore, you look Aborigine. Because you had long curly hair.
Italians have long curly hair as well. How ridiculous. Oh, my gosh, you people.
But, we'd never met an Australian. You must remember, we'd never met an Australian.
Had you never met an Australian? Really?
No, never. No, never.
God, even I'd met Australians.
Well.
Yeah. I did live in London, though, I suppose. Yes, you were living up north. Not many Australians go up to St. Anne's-on-Sea, do they?
No, they don't.
How would you describe your relationship during this time? Now, being a young adult at that time, Kirsten, you left home and you were probably itching to get out of home. Did you find the distance brought you closer together? Kirsten, maybe you can answer that from your point of view.
I don't know that the distance brought us closer together, but when I got back, I was a bit changed, I think. Just the whole experience changed me for who I was, I think. Before I left, I think I was very much about me and what was important to me and how things affected me. But when you travel, you're so reliant on other people and they're reliant on you that you become a bit less selfish, I think. And you think more on the collective rather than yourself all the time. So that obviously when you then go back into a situation like with your family who knew you before, suddenly you become this much more concerned person who thinks about other people, so therefore you're a much nicer person. So I think probably I came back and they were like, oh, my mum said, oh, you've changed, you're so much nicer now. And I was like, oh gosh, how bad was I before?
She wasn't that before, really.
Just self-centered, like most people in their early 20s are pretty self-centered, aren't they? But you don't realize it at the time.
Well, I never thought you were self-centred. It's just that you and your father used to argue about silly things, Well, you see, your dad had fixed ideas and you weren't prepared to accept his advice at times. And, of course, I was like the piggy in the middle, I found it difficult to appease both of you. Although I was on your side more than your father's, you have to admit. But so we didn't have that when you came back, I think he was so delighted that you were home again that he stopped arguing about silly things.
Well, I think the other thing is as you get older, you start to realize things don't matter like so much anymore, do they? You know, no. So you argue about silly things. You know, when, you know, gosh, teenagers and people in their early 20s know a lot of stuff, don't they? And you want to prove how much knowledge you've got all the time. You're sort of proving yourself in the family. You know, you've grown up and you've become an adult, so you need to prove yourself as being an adult and being higher up in the hierarchy of the family. So, but as you develop that bit more, you also realize that it's actually not important to say that all the time, and it's better to just make things a bit easy flowing. You know, you don't have to argue all the time about things. You can let things go, let's put it that way.
And also, you see, you were the baby of the family, and much younger than your brothers, you know, and I think
I'm still a lot younger than my brothers, you know that, don't you? I'm still the baby of the family, they're the old men.
And aren't you pleased? Yes. But, and of course, therefore, your dad, you know, tended to think of you as his baby all the time.
Well, I was a little girl as well, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Come away with me and I will write you a song. Come away with me on a bus. Come away.
Includes episode 6, season 7 of Mondays with Millie. In episode 7, Kirsten continues the conversation with Millie about her year in the UK with the children. We look forward to your company again next week. Never stop loving you.